Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to another podcast. Today we have with us John Schneider, the lead of the Micrometer project over at Pivotal. Hi, John.
Hi, Josh. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for joining me. I know you're in a I know you were a little worried about connecting via the phone and worried about how this would work, but we got it to work, didn't we?
We did.
Like, so you were beginning to tell me what sounded like the craziest story I've ever heard. Did you say you built it a tower?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I love living in rural central Missouri. That's, you know, I was from Missouri originally. I like to grow grapes and have sheep and farm and things like that, you know, on my off time. And so here we are kind of in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, when I came to Pivotal from Netflix, the real reason was to, you know, to work on a distributed team. And what better distributed team is there than the Spring team? So it allows me to come back here. Allows me to come back here and do the things I love. And so to bring internet access out here, I had to build a 100-foot microwave tower to just you know, enable you and I to talk today.
So you couldn't talk about do it yourself, huh? I mean,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, self sufficient.
How much? What kind of a project was that? I guess I must have missed that episode on Martha Stewart. How did you build a tower, 100-foot tower? I mean, that sounds crazy. Did you have people that helped you, or?
Yeah, I had one guy out here helping me when we put it up, but you know, you just dig a foundation and it comes in 10-foot segments, and you just assemble them 10 feet at a time until it's up. So.
And did you build scaffolding, and was there a crane? I mean, I'm just trying to picture this.
No, amazingly, you know, you just kind of build it 10 feet at a time, and you carabiner yourself to each 10-foot segment as it goes up, and you just keep climbing until it's up.
Well, of course. Okay, that was a silly question on my part. I should have known. Oh, that's so cool, man. Well, next time I'm anywhere near there, can I come over and just see? Because this sounds crazy.
Right. Yeah. You can see the ranch out here. Absolutely.
All right. That'd be awesome. How far are you from Kansas City?
We're about a little over 2 hours from Kansas City and St. Louis. So just right in the middle between the two.
Equidistant. Oh, that's so cool. So you're right between two. I'm sure you're also in a great place, but you're also between two great places.
Yeah. You know, increasing amounts of tech happening in both places too. They call it Silicon Prairie now. It's really, really picking up.
For sure. You know, Rob Winch is in Kansas City, right?
He is.
Yeah. I've got a lot of friends in that region. And Mark Heckler, my buddy Marcus, and he's near St. Louis. So, you know, good people on both sides. Of that particular divide, right? You're in. That's the other thing. I'm not sure if our audience is aware, but Kansas City, for example, straddles two different states in the U.S. For those of you who are not necessarily in the U.S.,
that's
or
right.
Even those of you who are in the U.S. And St. Louis does too. Yeah. So there's a lot of culture clash. Maybe there's a lot of different things happening on both sides of these. Of these cities, and you get the mix of that, you know, the convergence of that is really interesting.
Sure.
Not to mention the brand.
That's right.
Are you a barbecue fan?
You know, who isn't? That's something you miss, you know, being exiled in California for a few years. So yeah, it's good to be
Tell
back
me about
that
it.
Too.
Yeah. I'm a California boy, but I've had the privilege of traveling to places like Texas and to Kansas City and St. Louis and
everywhere else in the world, right?
Well, in Louisiana, but I mean, in particular, we're talking about barbecue. There's like meat candy. There's just so many good options in the States. And where you are is one of the best. Burnt ends. I love it. I'm salivating just talking about it. Let's talk about, I guess, sort of, you came to the Spring team at Pivotal, and that was what did we say about a year ago? A little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
How's that? You know, any regrets so far?
Not at all. You know, I came with a purpose, and luckily, Pivotal's kind of allowed me to pursue that purpose so far. What I saw, of course, you know, Spring Cloud is built on Netflix OSS quite a bit, and so many of the cloudy type primitives were already implemented, from Service Discovery to Circuit Breakering, and Spencer's working on Gateway right now. So a lot of that was already going. One thing I felt was felt Netflix was really, really strong at was their operations engineering, specifically their accumulation of application metrics that led to all sorts of higher order functions like automated canary analysis and predictive auto scaling and server outlier detection and so forth. And then also how they folded those metrics into their continuous delivery solution. So coming to Pivotal, the plan was, you know, let's build this really strong metric story that leads then to stronger continuous delivery work later on. And that's done. So, you know, basically first thing, sat down and started what was then Spring Metrics. And, you know, quickly gained cooperation from a few key individuals. Clint Checkitz from Domo was a really early contributor. I think it was Clint's idea to say, you know what? I think, you know, a dimensional metrics collector for the Java space is needed outside of even Spring. It's needed elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
And from there, we kind of renamed and pushed it to a project that sits below Spring Framework. And that's where Micrometer came from. So.
Adjacent to it, if you will, kind of like Reactor, which is another product that we grew it outside of the Spring ecosystem, and it serves the Java ecosystem at large, but it integrates, I think, particularly nicely with Spring and Spring Boot. Now, you just mentioned dimensional metrics. Can you distinguish that from, for example, whatever the other thing is?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of metrics collection. You can go back and, earlier systems were hierarchical in nature. So you may have a metric. And this is what was in Spring Boot 1.5, 1.4 and earlier. You may have something like, you know, jvm.memory.used. And that's the name. With the dimensional metrics collector, we can also add tags to those metrics. So you could say jvm.memory.used, but then add a tag for application, or the region you're in, so on and so forth. And what that allows you to do on a dimensional monitoring system is to go and take a particular metric and slice it arbitrarily along these different dimensions. In distributed systems, this is particularly important because generally we're not just dealing with one application instance, we're dealing with several application instances. So being able to reason about performance across, you know, a whole server group or cluster, or say, you know, divide that performance that server group along geographical isolation boundaries like regions, becomes more and more important.
So you're not talking about you're basically saying, okay, we want to support the ability to acquire metrics and then to have a dictionary of metadata attached with each metric. And it's like a key and value, and these keys and values you can then query. You can actually use them kind of like a predicate when asking for the statistics related to that metric, right? So
that's right.
The example you just gave was you have an HTTP, you know, you might have an HTTP request, for example, and then I want to be able to say, okay, show me all the HTTP requests that were also git, where the method was equal to git.
That's right.
And the status code that was returned is 200, for example.
That's right.
So what tools don't support that at this point?
So, you know, and there's been some evolution even in some of these older tools, but like Graphite conventionally was a hierarchical system. And that's still in use quite a bit today. But, you know, so that same metric you just mentioned, maybe you would do a bunch of dot separation like http.request.status.200.method.get. You know, you'd start dot appending these things. And to an extent, you could wildcard in Graphite to select over several different permutations of a particular dimension, but it's limited. You know, it's if you want to go add another tag to an existing name, you know, it breaks your wildcarding and so forth. So having these tags as kind of, like you mentioned before, a separate component of metadata attached to a metric allows you to have quite a bit more flexibility there. And so, you know, when we implemented Micrometer, we wanted to make sure that we provided Micrometer, first of all, is just like it's a facade. We say it's like SLF4J, but for metrics. So there's a single SPI that application developers interact with, and then a number of different implementations that can plug in to ship metrics to different backends. And we know that folks are transitioning from older hierarchical systems to dimensional systems. So we support, you know, the old Graphite, Ganglia, JMX, and so forth, those hierarchical systems. And you can flatten the dimensional name down into a hierarchical name for exposition to those kind of systems. But then you can also ship the metric to a dimensional system. So we're hoping to make it easier for folks to transition to what more sophisticated systems.
What are some more commonly seen dimensional metric systems these days? I know you come from Netflix and you've got Atlas there. Do you see that in the wild a lot?
You know, it's hard to tell what folks are using in the wild. I know that there's been quite a bit of experimentation with it. You know, Atlas is kind of, you know, the back end is fully open source, but the UI components that Netflix uses internally are not. So it's not the easiest thing to start out with if you're just approaching it for the first time. But I think, you know, Prometheus is gaining quite a bit of popularity in this space as far as open source systems go. InfluxDB is open source as well. You know, Elastic Kibana can act dimensionally in many ways as well. And then on the SaaS side, you've got, you know, kind of earlier innovators like New Relic still, whose new API supports dimensional metrics, Datadog, Wavefront, SignalFX. There's quite a few vendors popping up in this space. And they all share that same characteristic that they're dimensional first.
How is the Dynatrace support coming?
Ah, yes, thanks. I mean, I knew I was going to leave somebody out. So Dynatrace support we're working on for the 1.1 release of Micrometer, which at the latest will coincide with the Spring Boot 2.1 release early this fall. You know, we may have a release that comes out before then, but that's what we're targeting right now.
As we record this, my friend, I'm in Barcelona, Spain, and when you go to the airport here, you go to the airport for reasons I don't quite understand yet. And when you go to big buildings around the city, you see ads for Dynatrace.
Absolutely,
which I think is I mean, you could have blown me over with a feather. I'm used to seeing technical ads at airports, in Las Vegas or San Francisco, but Dynatrace, wow, that's cool. So yeah, it'd be good to have that, I think. Well, that's going to be a big one. That'll be – so we've got all these different players. We've got – I think you just gave a subset of all the different options there.
That's right.
And the goal is that the programmer doesn't have to really contend with any particular interface. They just deal with that meter registry. That's the API that you export, the API that then has many SPIs for implementations, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, they interact with this one API. I mean, just like SLF4J, they interact with this one interface, and then we plugged in multiple implementations.
Right on.
And we think that this model is important. You know, there's similar efforts right now going on at Google, for example, with Open Census. But, you know, what differentiates Micrometer is this realization that the structure of the data being exported to these systems is fundamentally different. So, for example, when you ship a counter to Prometheus, Prometheus expects a monotonically increasing count. And when you ship the same counter to Atlas, for example, it expects that counter to be represented in terms of a rate per second times an interval. And the histogram structures are very different from one to another. So there's not really one proto. There's not really one schema, say, that can satisfy all these systems. They're very different from one to another. And all those details are hidden in each meter registry implementation.
Which is what we want. We don't want just a direct pass through to some underlying API that just does the same thing, right?
That's right.
Almost people having this complicated math and the difference in implementations and what they're expecting, all those subtleties that aren't necessarily surfaced in the API, but that are definitely there in terms of the implementation. That's stuff that's why it's valuable. That's why it's taken so much energy to get this right. And I know you've worked on this quite a bit. So that's
very cool. And you know, so some of the ideas have come from the community in ways that, you know, I even initially resisted. The big one, I think one of the key features of Micrometer now is naming convention normalization. So we'll take a metric named, you know, http.server.requests in your code, and we'll transform that into, you know, a camel cased HTTP server request for one backend, and it'll be snake cased HTTP underscore server request for another backend. And that seems kind of like a triviality. And initially I thought it was, oh, this is nice. You know, we do something that looks idiomatic for each backend, but it turns out to be critical. In fact, you know, if we tried to export a dot separated name taxonomy to Elasticsearch, it would break Elasticsearch.
Right.
You know, and if conversely we shipped a camel case naming convention to SignalFX, then we wouldn't be able to take advantage of SignalFX's UI, which breaks down metric name taxonomies by dots. And so it's kind of there's no one naming convention that fits them all. And so each registry implementation gets to have their own naming convention. And that really, you know, results in the best experience for each one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of stuff we want. And now what happens if you aren't using one of these registries? Is it still useful out of the box? I know that one thing we may have glided over is that our support here for Micrometer is in Spring Boot 2.0. So one of the big features, one of the big banner features of Spring Boot 2.0 is this reworked support for metrics. Is that support useful in of itself, sort of agnostic of any particular or independent of any particular monitoring system? What does that get you out of the box?
It really is most useful when paired with some monitoring system. So we do have a simple meter registry that collects metrics in memory and kind of holds them there. That's really, and theoretically, you could use that, and then you could manually expose certain metrics in a certain way to fit your needs. But primarily, it really is useful when metrics are shipped somewhere,
right?
To be used.
So the metrics that we see in a boot application, you can query that. For example, I know there's an actuator endpoint that surfaces. Mm-hmm. You know, actuator forward slash metrics, and you can query that. You can look at the different dimensions, but those are by definition unique to a given instance, right? They don't represent sort of cluster state. All the different instances. Interesting. You mentioned earlier that sort of the goal here is to take all these different metrics and to use them to feed into insight for processes like continuous delivery, which, as you know, at Pivotal, we're all about. Mm-hmm. Continuous delivery, right? We already had a number of in-flight, in-flight continuous delivery options. We have a lot of them right now, right? So we have we have Skipper, we have Spinnaker, we have Spring Cloud Pipelines, we got Concourse. I mean, a lot of different pieces to the continuous delivery delivery story here. Where do you imagine Micrometer could figure into all that?
Regardless of which one we pick, for example, take a big block concept like automated canary analysis. Now, automated canary analysis could be implemented down at the platform level somewhere, or we could be using Spinnaker's Kayenta automated canary analysis server. But however it's done, that concept of being able to take one version of an application, deploy another version, and let that new version receive some tiny proportion of user traffic, and compare key performance indicators that the development team has identified as indicative of whether or not that service is good or not, and letting that drive whether, you know, you ultimately direct more and all of your traffic to the new version is a great, you know, risk mitigation strategy for companies. So and that's where, you know, those key performance indicators are not things that are like, you know, generally that are like memory consumption or CPU, things that, you know, we often have platform level metrics for already. They're more like, you know, the performance of a particular API endpoint that's critical to the health of that application. And those are the things that that Micrometer will enable us to do.
Is to look at the health of critical hot paths in the system.
That's right. Yeah.
And then a lot of people get confused about the distinction between tracing versus metrics, for example. So we have Spring Cloud Sleuth and its integration with the infrastructure, for example, from Twitter, Zipkin. How do you see these, you know, when to use which? What's the right story there?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a question I hear often as well. You know, metrics, you know, it's kind of a broad term, but at least in the context that Micrometer defines metrics in, it's something that tells you about performance in the aggregate. So, you know, a service's observed throughput was 100,000 requests, and another service's observed throughput was 60,000 requests. When you look at, and maybe those services are connected, you know, A and B, a trace of that same system would show you for an individual request that service A took so much amount of time and service B took so much amount of time, and therefore, you know, the total amount of time taken in this path was, you know, A plus B. You know, tracing data is typically downsampled. So you're sampling just certain events. Google, I think there was a Medium article recently. Google had one of the Google engineers anyway, took a snapshot of a latency heat map they have internally, where they've taken their distributed tracing system, and what they've done is they've plotted exemplar traces, you know, along that heat map. So if you want to look at the heat map of latency, say, oh, okay, in the aggregate, my average latency, say, is 50 milliseconds, but I see that there was one that took 300, and you could click on one of those exemplar traces and see why it took longer in that case. And I imagine that's the kind of relationship that Micrometer and something like Sleuth will have in the end, is that we'll start doing more and more correlation in our presentation.
And so would you use metrics then to see the big picture, and maybe tracing to see the individual?
That's right. You know, you can see a trace of a relatively normative latency, but then you can also see a trace of something that's non-normative, and see, you know, why was that? Was it because the database call took 10 times longer in this non-normative one than the normative one? Or what was it downstream that causes it to take a lot longer?
That's
a useful thing right there. So when you build alerts, when you build, you know, like when your automated canary analysis tool is making a decision, it has to do that off of information that's collected in the aggregate.
That's cool.
And the trace is more of a debugging tool then.
Which is good. That's really interesting. I mean, this stuff is it's interesting in of itself, and it's powerful in of itself. And I know we've got a lot of people already using Micrometer, of course, and using our Zipkin and Sleuth support. Is there in the Zipkin world, in the Sleuth world, there's the open tracing sort of de facto thing, and is there an entrenched sort of, you know, offering like that, an open-ish, standard-ish kind of thing for metrics in the JVM space, or are we trying to be that with this?
Well, we are trying to be that for dimensional metrics. And I think the obvious winner to date has been Drop Wizard. Now, Drop Wizard, I mean, it's been around, it's venerable. Drop Wizard was originally a hierarchical metrics collector. And that's a big part of the reason why we started Micrometer, because that just wasn't going to be satisfactory anymore. Drop Wizard 5.x, I'm not sure if it's been released yet. I know they had done an accidental 5.0 release, but it has moved to a tag-based approach or a dimensional approach. But doing so means that an existing Drop Wizard code is a rewrite already. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a fundamentally different data model. And what I think Drop Wizard doesn't do right now is those things we talked about earlier. It doesn't recognize the difference in structure for, say, like timer histograms and you know, rate normalization or non-rate normalization. It doesn't deal with naming convention normalization, base unit of time scaling, things that we've built in to Micrometer. So it's one of those things people are going to want to transition from Drop Wizard 4 to something. And I think, you know, of course, my biased opinion is you're going to want to pick Micrometer over Drop Wizard 5.
And I would, it is my biased opinion too. Not to say, of course, that Drop Wizard hasn't done all of us a lot of favors.
And it was a lot of work for them to move to 5.0 and move to a dimensional thing as well. So,
yeah.
And I think we're all trying to learn from one another. Sometimes I say Micrometer is a best of album of a lot of different things. You know, some of the metrics we collect out of the box have come from Netflix and, you know, Brendan Gregg's use method. Some of them have come from Prometheus, you know, and their default instrumentation. Yeah. Some of them have come from Drop Wizard and their default implementation. So
that promises to be very, very useful, very, very valuable for our users.
Yeah.
That's very cool. All right. So I'm really excited about, you know, the possibilities here. Obviously Drop Wizard, that's still an option for people using Spring Boot 1.x. Is that still supported in any way in 2.0?
Yeah, and we'll put it this way. Micrometer often uses a pass-through type thing. So, mm-hmm. for example, when we ship metrics to Graphite, we still use Drop Wizard as a pass-through because, hey, why reinvent that wheel? If you already have an existing code base that has some custom metrics collected in Drop Wizard, and then you also say you move to Spring Boot 2 and you pick up Micrometer. Micrometer is going to use that Drop Wizard registry internally. So you can tie those two together and still get your custom metrics and the Micrometer stuff together. Where you'll want to start migrating away from Drop Wizard will be when you start to want to move off of Graphite and you want your metrics to be portable now. So, you know, recording them against the Micrometer API makes them portable then. You can ship them to a variety of different backends. But that can happen incrementally, I think, as folks, you know, evolve on this.
That makes a lot of sense. And it cleans up the code. I mean, if you've got Drop Wizard code from before and you've had to manually, sort of accumulate all these different bespoke, labels as tags, you know.
That's right.
You know, if I wanted to capture http.request, that's one line. Then the next line, I capture the same thing, but http.request.get, http.request.200, http.request.exception. So I have to, you know, all that code just becomes a one-line expression as opposed to five lines that seem all entirely duplicative and, you know, unrelated. So that's nice. And if you're doing it right, I think a lot of people actually delete code to be able to get more metadata.
I think so too. You know, both because the API has been worked on heavily to optimize it for that, and also because – you know, hopefully a lot of things you want to instrument, we've already thought of and have instrumented out of the box for you. So it'll just be those custom things. You know, say you're holding a Guava cache and you want to know what the size of that cache is. Those will be the things that are left.
Yeah. And that's easy enough to get done. And this also, I think it's very telling that you are coming from a company that is notoriously operationally, aware or in sort of front end of that, cutting edge of that.
Yeah, so many of these ideas aren't original to me per se. I'm just really just trying to give developers around the world the same experience that a Netflix developer has in terms of operationalizing their service.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. What do you think? We'll go from here. You've got 1.1. That's coming in the fall, you said, right?
It does. And 1.1 introduces a few new features, but just a lot of different backends. So, you know, Microsoft has, I think, delivered the implementation for Azure Application Insights, and we'll have Stackdriver and Dynatrace and Elastic. And there's a bunch of new implementations coming. Nice. There's that. And, you know, at the same time, I'm working quite a bit on Spinnaker right now. So I expect that some of these you know, automated canary analysis, predictive auto scaling, these things are going to be coming as well.
When you mentioned Spinnaker, can you tell the audience quickly what that is?
Sure. Yeah. You know, Spinnaker is a multi-cloud continuous delivery platform. So, you know, that serves as both the means to get code out there and also as, you know, it represents an inventory of your existing assets. So you could take Spinnaker and point in an existing AWS account that you have, and you would see an inventory of all the apps and clusters and load balancers and things you already have. And then you could also start using it to deploy and manage those assets.
It supports the build and bake pipeline, and I know it supports multiple cloud targets, including Cloud Foundry, including Azure. And
well, we're working on the Cloud Foundry integration right now, and that's what we're doing. I don't think it'll be too much longer. We expect to, you know, so Netflix and Google just released Kayenta, which is their automated canary analysis tool. A lot of fancy math in there, really great work that's gone on for years. And, you know, one thing I expect that will contribute, Micrometer supports all these different monitoring systems, SaaS vendors, Datadog and New Relic and Wavefront Signal Effects and so forth. And we expect to add implementations to Kayenta for those vendors. It'll make it a really powerful tool, I think.
So that's interesting. So I like where this leads. We've got Kayenta, we've got Spinnaker, we've got this amazing metrics facade. I mean, and then tie that all together with things like, our story for pipelines and a cloud platform like Cloud Foundry. You got yourself a hard to beat combination.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Just focus on the code.
I was going to say, there are still people listening to this right now, listening to this thinking, I'm still going to build it myself. And I said,
that's fine. I understand.
Oh, goodness. Oh, God. I think about all the code that has to be duplicated to get to get half of what we're describing right now. And, it's exhausting just to think about it.
The thing that's most exciting to me is our evolution towards the multi-cloud strategy. Because we know that, most companies have one foot in CF on vSphere or something, and they have one foot in potentially multiple cloud providers. And that's when we enable, this kind of operations engineering across multiple cloud providers, I think we'll really have something to talk about.
Absolutely. Now, before I forget, I didn't mean to forget. Speaking of multi clouds and so on, that reminded me. Micrometer is not just used in Spring. It's in RabbitMQ now, right? I mean, there's some projects out there that are now embedding it as their native metrics. But it is being truly used like SLF4J. It's just a library that's in these other libraries,
right? And I hope we see an increased adoption of that. So, I mean, I think the big projects, the marquee projects out there that included RabbitMQ, Hikari CP, and recently Apache Camel landed Micrometer integration in it as well. That was a frequently requested feature, and luckily the Camel folks took that on. And then on the application framework side, Vert.x has Micrometer support built in now as well. So nice. We're moving that direction as well. Yeah.
Two very entrenched frameworks and certainly a very, very entrenched infrastructure, three different infrastructure projects. And this is a project that we announced as GA a month ago, right? I mean, it was maybe a month and a half ago, right?
Yeah, Spring Boot 2.0. That's right. It was literally the same week as Spring Boot 2.0, not coincidentally. Just how many features could we pile in before 2.0 really is what it came down to.
Right. And so people are looking at this stuff just absolutely, it's obviously scratching an itch that's out there. You know, people recognize the need for this. So that's really cool.
Hope so.
I expect we'll see and be able to measure great things from this project and from you, friend. Do you have anything else? Where can people find you? That's the other question.
You can find me on Twitter. My DMs are open. So, John_K_Schneider and, on GitHub, JK Schneider.
Schneider.
Schneider. And then, with regards to Micrometer, we have a public slack.micrometer.io. You're welcome to join questions or features or anything you want. So we've got quite a few folks in there willing to answer questions. So
awesome. Burgeoning, wonderful community. You have anything else you want our audience to hear about?
I don't. Thanks for having me today, Josh. Appreciate it.
A Bootiful Podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I'm at StarbucksMan on Twitter, and you can find me by email at josh@joshlong.com. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. Don't hesitate to reach out to me. My Twitter DMs are wide open. If you have content ideas, feedback, etc., don't hesitate to ping me at Bootiful Podcast on Twitter as well, where, of course, you can learn more about new episodes. I sampled music from Steve Combs' Them from a Morning in Springtime and Steve Combs' Small Victory, both of which are under a Creative Commons license. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.